everyone, and welcome to another episode of Unnecessary Noise. It's nice. What did I just say? Every single time I do this intro, Tony, sometimes I biff it.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be episode number 82, which is a lot. Cool. Most of the time I don't have anybody with me, but I do today, and this is really exciting. So welcome everyone to Unnecessary Noise. Nuz?
Nuz.
Maybe it is Nuz. Maybe this is that's the name of the new show. Unnecessary Nuz. It's the Nuz. Today I'm here. I'm TJ, and I'm here with Tony.
Hi. How's it going?
Are you asking me how's it going, or are you asking the people in podcast land?
Whatever. Whoever's going to answer me first. So
it might be the people in podcast land. I don't know.
Yeah, we never know.
It could be someone out there that answers you before. I'm doing fine. To save everybody, I am doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Relaxing.
So excited to have you here.
Yeah,
we're
gonna
be doing some. We've been jamming for a bit. I think this is the way. We've known each other for years. You've been on. You've done stuff with us before. In fact, I think you've actually been on this podcast that I do, Unnecessary Noz.
I think so.
I think you were you might be the only other person that appears on this thing.
Oh, nice.
And so it's like
Noz.
That's going to be the clip. The new soundbite that we use. But no, I think you actually were like the guest on in episode 20, and I just don't have people on. Usually it's just me spewing random facts. But the other thing that we decided to have you back on. I also found out this is the crazy part about the analytics, okay? I don't get a lot of listeners on this show.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Right?
Probably, but
the only people I do listen that do listen, and this is where I always bring this up because I have to give them a shout out, is and tell me if this is crazy. This I think the CIA is listening to my podcast, and hear me out for a second.
All right.
I checked the analytics. I was doing a show a few months back. I randomly mentioned the CIA in passing on a show about something else. I think I might have even been talking about a show where the CIA show up. Next thing I know, on my analytics, on one of the downloads, and because, you know, at this point, my numbers are so low, I can download them individually.
Yeah.
Langley, Virginia.
Oh.
You know where Langley, what the important part about Langley, Virginia is?
Oh, yeah. American Dad, man.
CIA headquarters.
Hell yeah.
It's not Langley, British Columbia.
No.
I do mention Langley, BC a lot. That's the whole thing. They're just thinking I'm talking about Langley the entire time. And it's like, oh, this guy might have an in. Oh,
yeah, you never know, man.
So anyways, I try and keep it as entertaining as possible for the listener that is having to sift through the hours and hours of my psychobabble.
Yeah.
You know, so I try and give them a shout out. And also, since it helps the analytics, I figure they've probably passed it along. They figured out now that I'm from Canada. So they've passed it along to CSIS, which I have ruled because that's Canadians and the Canada intelligence is called CSIS.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I guess Canada. What is it?
Canadian
intelligence.
Yeah, well,
services?
Yeah, I think, I've established, I know CSIS is an actual thing, but I've established that it is probably one man, and CSIS stands for Constable Sam Ichabod Smith. And he probably sits in a booth in a back end of an RCMP office listening to just radio waves.
Yeah, just nonstop.
Watching C-SPAN on just, or like Al Jazeera and all the other international. He's got BBC.
Yeah.
He's just
white noise. Or it's just white noise. Oh, I heard something.
I heard something. Yeah.
All white noise.
Hey, what? What was that?
They're tapping.
Hey. You got anything? Okay. So that's why, you know, I like to appease the listeners. But I mentioned something the other day, and I was like, hey, we're growing. And, you know, I looked at the numbers kind of skewed upwards. So I was like, maybe I have to put some production in this. That's why you're here.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you never know. maybe people downloaded it by mistake.
That's what I thought.
Oh, crap. Oh, no. Well, it's already 50%. Better not stop now.
Well, you know what last episode was? I was talking about, again, mindlessly rambling, and I was talking about the Eye of Sauron. I think, and then I was like, what happened to all his other body parts? Like, what would have happened if Tolkien had gone with the nose? And he's just...
A lot
just
of sniffling.
Smell, yeah, just smelling,
sniffling
trying to
smelling.
Smell the hobbits. Yeah. The nose of Sauron.
Yeah, you probably could find it. Well, it'd be a lot easier. Probably a easier movie than you could smell it. Smell them all the way, right?
Yeah,
hobbit just, smelly feet, right?
Yeah.
Walking all that time.
That's true. There's a lot of odors. Yeah, a lot of
makes sense.
And I mean, with the eye, I was saying you could probably fine tune the odors to like, oh, I know where it's going. Like, I know that's coming from that direction. Meanwhile, if you have the eye, you only have one eye, you're dealing with a whole depth perception issue.
Yeah, that's true. But then...
Because you're like, hey, Helm's Deep, I don't know. I think Gandalf's that far away. Like, he might be 3 days' ride, and he's coming down the mountain. And you're like, wait, that's a lot closer than I thought.
It could be.
And get also those orcs out of there.
Yeah. And the eye could probably lip read, so it knows what it's saying, people are saying.
That's true.
Right? Your nose, you can't hear and you can't see.
So you're
kind of hooped.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you can't.
And then if it was just a mouth kind of deal, then you just say things that you want to say and then you can't really understand. You can
smell what's up. You can smell this. Something stinks.
Something stinks about this plan. Yeah.
This plan.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
The ears.
They thought it was the eye, I guess. Or the ears. Oh, man.
The ears? Yeah. He had a weird helmet. I never was a big Lord of the Rings guy. I think the first one I was in, but I was pretty all in. But the second two kind of just blur together for me.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I know. I enjoyed them for what they were. Never read the books. Kind of hard to read. Nowadays,
I did read the books. I read, or no, here's the thing. I watched the first movie. I read the second book. I got halfway through the third book just because I'm like, okay, this has been a slog. I didn't understand. I probably understood like maybe a third of the. I remember the trees. I remember thinking, is he talking about trees? No, he's not. These ants are not. That's not a thing. And sure enough, there were trees walking.
Oh, yeah.
I did not think that was actually a legitimate thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, man, you close your eyes, anything can be real.
What is that even?
Close your eyes, anything's real.
Right? Wise words. Anything can happen.
Yeah, when
you,
you
just
close your eyes
and
your
imagination
eyes,
takes flight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imagination, that's the key. No one has imagination anymore. Bring that back.
Yeah. Make those trees walk.
Yeah, make those trees walk.
Well, you don't think the Marvel movies are full of imagination?
No. Oh, yeah. A lot.
You don't think that they're just breeding creativity?
Yeah.
With all their slightly desaturated action sequences that all look the same. They're all done on the back of a green screen.
Yeah, man. Yeah, great creative process there. Marvel, you listening? Marvel. may we get put in one of their movies as like a guy that gets killed or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or maybe we could be a Jedi that gets slaughtered in the one of the next Star Wars movies. You never know.
At this point, what would you rather be in? Would you rather be in a Star Wars film or a Marvel movie film? Because I think
that...
Oh,
that's tough. Yeah, you know, just because I'm an old school fan, probably Star Wars, man. It'd have to be.
I think so, too. Well, I also think that the Star Wars franchise at this point probably has a little more life to it. Like, because you still have the Mandalorian. Like, don't get me wrong. I think the new trilogy was a disaster. But I think that the Mandalorian has actually breathed some life. He's breathed some life into... the franchise, and I think that there's a much better chance of actually having something interesting. And they're on kind of the right path,
yeah.
At least with the Mandalorian, and
I'll agree with that.
But I don't know. I haven't seen really anything past Endgame. Well, I tried to watch some of the shows, and I just couldn't get through it.
Yeah. There's some of them are tough watches.
Some of them are tough watches?
Yeah. I had to force myself to watch that Loki one, but
Did you watch the...
I didn't watch that WandaVision one. I didn't know what was going on with that.
I tried to. Maybe I'm just getting old.
Could be.
Yeah.
Maybe your imagination's not there anymore. Just close your eyes, TJ. Just close your eyes.
What's that South Park episode?
Imagination.
But you are, like, the reason I like talking to you about this is because you are one of the most knowledgeable human beings I know about movies. There are very few.
Yeah, I try.
Drew has credited me, our good friend, and he was, like, you know, former co-host of mine, has credited me with being human IMDb. But I gladly pass that label to you.
Because
I think you have seen, if you guys were in this room right now, you would, like, his domicile is basically what happened to Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, you have like, and you have all different types of video cassettes, Blu-rays, DVDs. Like, you are a fan of cinema.
Yes, I do enjoy watch the movies, good, bad, whatever. Watch it. Ugly. I'll watch them all, man. Watch them all. I'll give everything a shot at least once.
Do you have a genre? Like,
Myself personally, I really like the grindhouse era, like the 70s, late 60s, 70s, 80s style movies. Mm-hmm. Those ones are the ones that I really gravitate towards. Sometimes it's the horror, sometimes it's like the crime stories, or sometimes I just get hooked on like actors, sometimes I'll watch like Rutger Hauer movies, or I'll watch like
Hobo
with a Shotgun, yeah, Blind Fury, all those, like Hitcher, all those things like that, or I'll get into a mood for like war movies, so I'll watch as many war movies as I can, like Platoon or Apocalypse Now, you know, Casualties of War, like those kinds of deals. So yeah, it's always hit and miss, whatever I kind of feel like watching. Or sometimes I go just straight for the directors, I got into a Tony Scott theme, so I just kept on watching anything with Tony Scott. I was watching it like you wouldn't believe.
What's the one he did with is it Deja Vu?
Oh yeah,
Such a wild film that just has so many. I think it's almost what happens when you over edit something.
Yeah,
you're just watching. You're like, oh, okay. Like, and this is coming from, like, I'm an Oliver Stone fan.
Yeah,
that Oliver Stone was saying, hey, bro, you know, maybe slow it down.
Maybe a little too much. Yeah,
you're making my films look like Glenn Ford? John Ford, who did The Searchers?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Whatever, John Carpenter. He does a lot of static shots.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, great.
But yeah, I think you dive in. So here's where I think we differ, but I also think we both have different strengths.
Yes.
I
agree.
I think you dive deep into the exploitation films.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, you're into the 70s. You love grindhouse era. You have collections also on the international scene. I think you probably have a few more than I do. I also think that I probably skew to a little more of the classics. I would sucker into the like Turner Classic Movies probably a little more. I probably enjoy the 30s and the 40s in a weird way.
Yeah.
I probably 30s to 60s, I think I have a decent handle on. I probably have a late 30s is probably when I really start kind of liking some of the films. But then I dig, you know, Hitchcock and, you know. Oh, you like Kurosawa. But like,
yeah, Kurosawa. Yeah,
Kurosawa, but that's sorry.
Like, whatever.
Is that a rookie move?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not at all. It's all right.
It's all right. Okay. But I just came across like the biggest poster to like a bunch of cinema
cinephiles.
They're like, oh, no, hey! He mispronounced Karras.
What the hell's going on here? Don't worry about it, man. My memory's all the shot now. I can't remember anything. I just remember watching all these things now.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get old. You forget everything. But
it is amazing just how much, like, you just... It's almost like a stew. Your mind becomes a stew.
Yeah.
And, you know, the younger you are, the more separated all of these thoughts and ideas are.
Yeah.
And as you get older, like, these ingredients just begin to cook and simmer and steep together until you can't tell one thought from the other.
Oh, yeah.
Kids, getting old is great.
Yeah. I was trying to remember something, but I couldn't.
Fair enough. So, like... We're talking on the basis of talking about movies and stuff. In doing this, we decided that a good idea for us would be to come up with 5 movies neither of us have seen, and both of them playing to our strengths. So this is Tony's got 5 movies that I have never seen that he thinks I should watch. Or just cringe at.
Yeah. Yeah, either or. But no, you should watch these ones.
Yeah. And
at least once, anyways.
Yeah. I think, and then I have 5 that I think, you know, would probably, may not best represent the era, but I think that you would probably enjoy or at least appreciate, kind of get what they're going for.
Sounds good.
Okay, so... My ear is probably skew a little older. Although, actually, no, I do have a couple new ones. I was going to say, mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have, like one of those, like, I know, TJ's 5 things that Tony's never seen? Like a... No?
You just did it.
No. Oh, that was it?
And
that would be...
The 5 movies... That TJ has never seen, brought to you by Tony.
Yeah.
There, how's that?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I didn't bring a vocoder, so this is just, like, it's literally just a Zoom mic and a couple microphones.
Dude, you can't, but these are the expensive, like, 70s, like, 80s style, like, big old, like.
These are.
Actually, Elvis Presley sang in my mic. Elvis Presley sang in this mic I'm using right now.
Yeah, and you're all shook up because of it.
Yeah, and it's great.
And it's great.
I mean, sorry, what did he say?
What?
I don't know.
I'm all shook up. Did you ever see Bubba Ho-Tap?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, yeah, we did. Never mind.
Because we were thinking about doing a second one or whatever, and like, couldn't do a second one because it couldn't be called Bubba Ho-Tap.
Yeah, that's true. You'd have to bring back the same mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mummies don't live that long, do they?
No, daddies do. I don't know what that means.
Either, yeah, I guess so.
All right, so what's the first movie that you think I should watch?
One thing that I should... Is a movie called Cannibal Ferox, or Let Them Die Slowly.
What?
Yeah, man.
Let them die slowly. Cannibal... Anything with the word cannibal.
Ferox. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to... Can I just guess what this movie's about before...
Sure.
Okay. Let Them Die Slowly. Group of younger people go in, stumble onto an island that has been forgotten about. I'm already going to argue. I'm going to say this already. Italian director, I just know you have an affinity towards Italian cinema, especially Italian horror. And they stumble upon an island, and there are cannibal zombies, and they get eaten.
Well,
and there's a lot of, like, sexuality, and it's because it's an Italian horror film.
Oh, yeah. You're kind of close, but with this one, it's probably, I would say, this one's the most mean-spirited cannibal movie done.
Why do I need to watch this?
Because it is probably the most interesting one to watch, because it all it is really is just like a very mean-spirited cannibal thing where, like, the actual evil people aren't the cannibals. The actual evil people are the human beings, like the regulars.
But isn't, okay.
Which is the weirdest thing.
Has there ever been a nice-spirited cannibal movie?
Yeah.
Hey!
There's been a couple.
Yeah, why don't you have a...
There's been a couple of them.
Why don't you take a bite out of me thaw there?
Yeah. Well, they ask them politely, and they either season the food,
excuse me,
you know?
Sir?
You never
excuse
know.
Me. Excuse me, young lad. Well, that's quite a bicep.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, anyway.
No, okay, so it's a mean-spirited cannibal movie.
But it's probably it's the meanest.
It's the meanest.
It's the meanest. Let's go that. It's the meanest.
There are some.
I would say it's the
there
meanest
are some
one.
Sensible. There are some sensitive cannibals with hearts out there, is
yeah.
what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And they empathize, and, you know, this one, there is
the very yeah, this one,
and
no.
And it turns it
this
on
one.
Itself. Because the cannibals are actually the good guys.
Well, you almost, yeah, pretty much. Because almost like basically just a group of the researchers get in there. Next thing you know, they find out that one's actually going to the jungle with him because he's got a drug problem. And he's actually going there to deal drugs or something like that rather than to actually be part of the process. And he ends up getting caught up into this whole drug ring. And now next thing you know, oh, shit. Cannibals.
So wait, the cannibals. Wait, I'm trying to follow this. So the researcher goes into the jungle.
A whole bunch of the researchers.
They all go into the jungle. They're dealing, and one of them's dealing drugs to the cannibals.
No, is he trying to get them hooked? No, not to the cannibals. Just overall, just like that's his kind of side deal.
Okay,
he's like, you know, trying to run drugs.
Okay, he's trying to run drugs, and he's yeah. just and he's from and so is like does he have a stash? Does he have a little
yeah,
grow
he's,
up
he's,
in the
he's
in the middle
got,
of the
he,
jungle
well, he's got
there?
A little bit of stash on him and stuff like that, and then you know I think something goes wrong, and the next thing you know he just does it all himself.
Okay, there you go. And the reason you watch it is because it subverts your expectations on the cannibals.
Yeah, well I just like it because the one thing that I really enjoyed about it the most. It's just the fact that, like, the other ones, they kind of do it where people are actually, like, looking for them kind of deal. And these ones, they just kind of are there.
They're just suddenly on the island. This is, they
like,
were,
they're just there.
It was completely
you know, like,
by accident. It's not like, it's
yeah.
not like other movies like Cannibal Holocaust where,
yeah, where,
you know, they go and they hunt. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Or like some of the other ones before that when it's just like, it's just them and it's like they I forgot there was another, oh, Jungle Holocaust. That was. And it's pretty much just two.
Is that an Italian horror film?
Oh yeah,
too?
That's another one too.
They made a ton of them. Like
dude,
the Italian horror
they
marker.
Did so many.
Like
man.
And it was
like,
all cannibals. Like we have
a lot
one.
Of them
we have literally we are two movies
yeah,
I can think
two.
Of. Hills Have Eyes. Okay,
yeah.
I can think of Hills Have Eyes because aren't they kind of cannibal-y?
Yeah.
And then the other one obviously is Silence of the Lambs with Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Well, no, but you got the Canadian one, Cannibal Girls. That's Canadian. Done in, like,
I've
the 70s.
Never seen that.
Like 70s, early
there's
80s,
a movie called Cannibal Girls.
Yeah,
why
a
are
Canadian
we talking?
Movie, man. Is, I don't. I would say that one's a nice.
Was it shot in like northern Alberta and like it was just a cold winter?
Maybe
cold winter.
Yeah,
at a sorority, a football team,
something like that. I don't know.
The football team's car breaks down.
In the jungle.
In the jungle. In the
jungle.
In the tundra of northern Alberta.
In the jungle of Alberta.
Yeah. Little did they know what they were walking into. Dun, 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 dun,
oh,
dun.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that one.
Yeah,
I
like
I think
how you
Yola.
Said, what is it, Canadian, what would you say, the what's the Canadian one?
Cannibal Girls. I believe Cannibal Girls.
I love how you said that, like it was like a blockbuster hit, you know, oh yeah, yeah, well you're watching through the yeah. theaters, it's yeah. Jaws, you got your Tremors, you got
oh,
your
yeah.
Cannibal Girls, right
oh,
up
yeah.
there with Citizen Kane and Casablanca.
Yeah, yeah. So someone up there is going, yeah, Cannibal Girls.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I don't remember any of that. Yeah, no. Neither do I.
No.
But I just remember with Cannibal Girls, Canadian. That's all
it.
I remember. They got their etching there.
I like that. That's a. Okay, so Okay. So what was the name of the movie I'm supposed to watch?
That one was going one? Was Cannibal Ferox or Let Them Die Slowly.
Okay, sounds good. I'm going to give you one now.
All right.
Okay, so this one, somebody blew up my phone.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the CIA. They're trying to see what's
CIA.
Yeah. they're trying to, I don't want to get this one recorded in case I say something stupid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to check up on you, saying, "Hey, what's this Langley thing coming up? Are you talking about Langley, BC? You talking about Langley Kirkwood, freaking the actor? Like what Langley, Virginia? Kirkwood. What are you talking about, man?
Langley Kirkwood.
If ever Langley Kirkwood ever hears these podcasts, you are an amazing actor. You've been in so many freaking TV shows. It is amazing.
I have no idea who Langley Kirkwood is. That's why, like I said, I give you the award already.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the first movie that I'm going to say. What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
And this is a movie I've been trying to get you to watch for a while.
Yes.
They've made, it's by Taika Waititi. It's a new one. It's, I would say, newish compared to what we are probably going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And I would say it's Taika Waititi, and it's a documentary film crew about vampires in New Zealand and just their day-to-day lives. And it's their mundane lives, and they are dweeby. It stars Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say the other guy I recognize is, you know, their manager in Flight.
Yeah.
He plays a werewolf.
Okay.
And one of the lines, I'm going to spoil one. We're werewolves, not swearwolves, guys. Yep. I like it. So, I think you would watch it just because I have shown this. It was such a hidden gem for me. Like, you know, I love stumbling on movies that, you know, that have been out for a couple years. Because, again, we don't see, especially in the past, you know, 10 years, you don't see something that's just a nice little standalone film.
Yeah.
If it's a good movie, it usually has to spawn a franchise or it has to be based off of a property. This was a nice little neat idea. And I would say, dare I say, it's almost a perfect film in a sense that, like, in the fact that it's cute. It's just a nice, fun, it's just a fun documentary. It doesn't break its own rules like The Office ends up doing, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, so you actually feel, so one of the things I always say about mockumentaries today, you know, like the Office or Parks and Recs, while they, you know, the first couple seasons were pretty entertaining, they can be really, and they're fun, they're not really true mockumentaries in that they aren't actually, like the documentarians, you can tell they're not actually documentarians that are filming these things. The asides are more like soliloquies, you know, like something in a Shakespearean play where someone would come out and be like, oh, you know, like they talk to the audience.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, these ones almost feel like the thing I loved about What We Do in the Shadows, this feels like they actually ended up filming they filmed a bunch of this weird B-roll plot, and then they would interview these vampires after. It feels like the documentary came in. Spinal Tap does a great job of that too, right?
Spinal Tap, yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously that's, you know, that's if you haven't seen that one and you're listening to this podcast,
just turn off now.
Yeah, turn it off now and go.
Sorry, download us first.
Yeah.
And then turn it off.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we need the numbers. We just need the numbers, guys.
So I would say from a filmmaker's perspective, I think I can appreciate the fact that it doesn't break its own rules.
Yeah.
It's a mockumentary. It believes in itself. There are some laugh out loud moments.
Nice.
The special effects there are both practical and then ridiculous when they are it's works.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
All right, man.
Yeah. It's on a budget. Anyways, I can't hype that movie enough. I don't want to oversell it, but definitely go watch it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely will. All right. My next one, sticking in the vein of the Italian style, people, is a Salo, 120 Days of Sodom.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I'm already not going to watch it.
Yeah, no, we're going to watch it.
Is sodomy's in the name?
We're going to. It's not not me, just Sodom. There's a difference.
What is the difference between Sodom?
Singular and plural.
I don't think it is. Okay, so what? Is. Tell me the...
Anyway, so all I'm going to say about this one is when
it's
I
the Italian
I read,
answer to the 500 days of summer.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This guy does...
Is the craziest thing, and this is the one, this is one, like, I've been reading, like, I used to get the Rue Morgue magazine. That's like a horror kind of style magazine where it just does everything on, you know, like reviews all the new movies, old movies, music, anything to do with horror kind of deal. So I stumbled across one of these reviews of this one, and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And of course, it kind of leans a little bit on the Nazi exploitation films. But one of the taglines that got me the most intrigued to actually want to watch this and actually to give them my money and purchase it on Blu-ray, if you could believe it, peoples. Nope. But one of the taglines was, this is a movie you should not watch. That was one of the taglines for like when it came out.
And so
like,
why would I want to watch this?
Because that's why you would not want to watch it. Because people tell you not to watch it. So of course you're going to want to watch it now.
No.
And it is the most, the weirdest thing about it is I honestly ended up watching the majority of the movie with my hands over my eyes peeking through the cracks. Because it was just one of those movies where it's like, first of all, it's like...
What's the plot to it?
Pretty much Germany.
No.
During the war, World War II, Germany's taking all the girls.
Not going to watch that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. We're
no,
gonna.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. That is gross.
And it's.
No.
And then, but here's the thing about
no,
it.
No, don't try. It.
No,
don't.
No. And here's the thing about it as well.
There's no way.
Anyway, so it dives deep into some weird, like grotesque, sometimes some fetish, but really, really crazy
ass stuff.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Stuff.
I'm not going to. No.
And here's the thing about it. There's a one guy. That's in the linear notes.
Okay.
He writes a little bit of like an essay on it, and he goes like, "Is the guy brilliant for creating this movie, or is he just a sadistic bad person? Is he brilliant because he was able to put all that stuff that he wrote on actual film, and people watched it, or is he a crazy nutsoid sadist because he put all that stuff on film?" And made people watch it. So
your argument is the fact that it made people cringe is the point of the film.
Well, not just that, but it's the fact that like you don't know, like you don't overly know what his intention was. Was it the fact that hey, maybe
I just want to show you.
Let's see how far we could go with the movies, or is he like just a really messed up person? I'm kind of thinking a little bit of both, but the fact that like. He was able to shoot that thing and actually film it, and it's boom, carbon copied, here it is, it's on video, you could find it wherever you want now. The fact that it was made, I find, is just the reason why.
Was that one of the video nasties?
They actually didn't put it in one of the video nasties, if you could believe it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they probably put it in a little bit later on, but in the original 39, they didn't put it in the original 39.
It's not an, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought was pretty odd about that.
So is it actually is it and again I'm not gonna I can already tell you this is not gonna be one of those movies that no
oh yeah probably
is I'm not gonna watch that movie.
I've
why would you say that's what it's one of those ones you think that I just as a film is this what you're I'm getting it's one of those ones I need to experience as a film connoisseur
You should, you should experience it once.
So your philosophy is that of Richard Nixon's. In order to truly experience the highest mountain, you must first experience the lowest valley.
Exactly, man. Hey, man, if you want to learn to love, you got to learn how to hate first, buddy. Isn't that what the saying is?
That's a horrible saying.
All you have to have your heart
what
broken.
Happened? I don't think that's a Beatles lyric.
Is that it? You have to have your heart broken to learn how to love?
Maybe.
I don't know. Something like that. Anyways, I just think it's just because that someone created that, and it's just atrocious, but brilliant at the same time. Just in the fact that, like, if you tried to do something like that nowadays, there's no way in hell anyone else could be able to, would be able to film that nowadays, no matter what. Even that, even the thought process, even in like probably, like
I actually think you know, you probably can get things done. I just don't think you get the major release. I think you can probably push the boundaries a lot more.
If it was like an independent, yeah, maybe you could. Because I've seen some pretty other.
But wasn't this independent? This was an independent film.
No.
It wasn't a major studio. It was
It
was another
studio.
Italian.
It was another. Yeah.
It was an Italian exploitation film.
Italian
okay.
Yeah.
So it was not a major studio. This is like what is it? Italian equivalent of Roger Corman.
A little higher. A little step up. Yeah, a little bit more than that.
So what? Are these guys, the same guys, would be producing something like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Kind of like that, except just not Warner.
So
Brothers.
It'd be the same.
I would say it would be like...
Probably a step down from that. No? Well, I guess they weren't that expensive.
I would say like the like top tier would be like, you know, like Warner Brothers, Paramount, like that. You know how that second tier, like the father or like the sister companies, like Dimension and
New
things
Line.
Like that, like New Line. Yeah, like sort of that. I'd say they could be like the second level.
Okay.
Second level there.
Okay. So you'd have a... Okay. And that would be the second level of Italian film kind of things.
Yeah, I would say. I love like the big release kind of people
or
whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so...
But yeah, but no, it'll happen.
I'm not going to...
It'll be very reluctantly, but it'll happen.
Oh, man.
I'll Clockwork Orange for that one.
Oh, no. Just the eyes eyes wide open. Man, I had trouble sitting through that movie.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you that. Like, it's weird. That one, it was funny. I get, you know, it's funny just how what you realize after a film. Like, you know, you watch that. I watched that movie. And, you know, again, some of those scenes in there, you know, are very brutal and tough to watch. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And then you realize that's what Kubrick was trying to make you feel. And I just remember feeling that, like, in grade 8. Like, I think I saw it. No. When I see that, grade 8 or 9, and I was like.
Oh, well, dude, that's young to see that.
Yeah, and you're like, oh. Ugh. Yeah. I know. I kind of rented a bunch of movies. It was back when Video Update had the 2 for 99 cents.
Oh yeah,
Tuesday.
2 for 99 cents, or the 10 for $10.
Oh god, those are
10 for $10.
Those are great days.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah. So I'm gonna move on to mine. I'm going to go with, just because I know. I kind of wanted to mention the Kojak Stallone episode, just because it's probably. I'm going to say this just because I like doing the voice.
Kojak.
Oh, man. You've seen Kojak, obviously.
Yeah.
We love you, baby.
Some reruns. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. This is an aside. This isn't my main one. But, yeah, I tell you, you got to watch the one where I was watching. It's season 3, episode 3, because number 1's a two-parter. And I may or may not have bought a season of Kojak. Telly Savalas is cop. Conan O'Brien. He plays the cop Kojak. Well dressed, always well dressed.
Oh yeah,
with a lollipop.
Lollipop. Yep.
Tinted old man glasses, shaved head. You know,
trench coat.
Exotic suits. Yeah, he didn't have a. He had. He always had these like exotic, like, you know, kind of almost like he dressed like Don Cherry in weird. In sometimes, like, not.
Oh yeah.
Maybe a little like nicer than that, but like, you know. Because he didn't have the jacket, but it was always like a 3-piece, and you're like, and he had like this kind of flashy tie. Anyway, the episode basically, guy shoots a kid, and cop shoots a kid. Yeah, very similar to a lot of social things, and like you know, they have a lot of civil rights groups coming down on the police, and there may or may not have been a couple other shots fired. Anyway, the cop in question is played by a young Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, shot him. I'm a cop. I'm a good cop.
Yeah.
I shot him. Hey. Telly Savalas is so cool.
Yeah. man.
You're garbage. You're worse than garbage. You know that? You disrespected every badge on the force. You're garbage. Oh, I'm a cop. Anyway, and it ends. I don't want to tell you how it ends, but it ends surprising.
Oh.
I don't want to. Yeah.
All right, man.
It's worth it. Kojak. Worth the watch. Kojak.
Kojak.
It's not really an episode. It's not really something. If you want another one, I can give you another one.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Well, I love things that I haven't seen before to watch at least once or twice. You know what I mean? Like you enjoy that stuff.
I'll give you a better one. The other one I had was The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Oh yeah, didn't get a chance to see that one yet.
That's an underrated one, I think. Because I'm trying to think of movies you haven't seen, and when I movies that I actually genuinely like, and you've seen quite a bit. Men Who Stare at Goats, George Clooney, Ewan McGregor, Jeff Bridges. I think even Kevin Spacey's in it, which I mean, you know, good actor, not a great person.
Yeah.
But what was it? It's about basically the CIA back in the day had actually experimented with things like mind control and stuff
that. Oh, yeah.
You know? And so it's kind of a fictitious story based on that idea. So they say it's true. I think it says they're based on true events.
Based on true
events,
but
it is so loose, you know, you ain't fitting those pants.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? So it's really fun. I think it's actually a pretty fun adventure, you know, watching Ewan McGregor develop as a person where he seeks out George Clooney.
Yeah.
Or I think he casually runs into him. I can't remember. And they start talking about psyops and whatever. Anyway, it's a good movie. Go watch it.
All right, yeah. Men Who Stare at Goats.
The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Men Who Stare at Goats.
Great
man.
Band name, by the way.
That would be. Staring Goats. You know? Staring Goats.
Staring Goats? What about We Are the Men Who Stare at Goats?
We Are the Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah. I don't know. I got nothing.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think that might work.
Go on.
If it wasn't a movie.
And then, like, a Men With Hats kind of, wasn't that the name of a band?
Men Without Hats?
Wasn't that a band name?
Yeah, Men Without Hats was a band name, I believe.
Yeah, Men Without Hats, and there are Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah, that could be done.
All right, give me another one.
Another one.
Another movie I need to see.
Titus.
Titus.
Titus, the film version of Titus Andromachus from Shakespeare, has Jessica Lange in it and a whole bunch of other crazy people in there that you've probably seen in all these other movies.
I've only ever seen the cover of Titus. That's the one with Anthony Hopkins covered
Hopkins
in mud.
Is in there. Yeah, it is. It's such it's kind of done modern, but not too modern. But the colors of it are just amazing. Like the cinematography as well is just it's mind-boggling. And again, just the story of Titus, I don't know if a lot of people, you know, all you Shakespearean people do know about that story, but...
I don't know. I don't know anything about Titus. Tell me about him.
You know, just two kind of families, pretty much the basics of the story is one of the families, the daughter gets raped and mutilated so that she can't speak of her people or of who did it to her. But then she kind of realizes, oh, she could write down because, well, they cut her hands off, cut her tongue out, and then so she can't say who'd commit the crime. But then she realizes, hey, you know what? Shit, I could write. So then she ends up writing down, and then her father finds out who the actual murderer or whoever did that stuff to them, and then, does the old Eric Cartman to them and kills them in a... makes the family eat them. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Wow.
It's probably one of the messed ups. That's why I think I enjoyed it so much too. It's a very again.
You have a very twisted, dark streak.
For Shakespeare too, because Shakespeare's always about this love and you know, or like espionage or like kind of like you know, trying to tame of the shrew or you know, like all these like. Mind manipulate or like manipulating to get in power kind of deal, and then this is just a total horror style like Wow. Crazy ass, like, yeah, like.
Sounds almost like growling Poe-ish or something, like, yeah, a, like a Hitchcock kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like to come out of the mind of a Shakespeare is just, yeah, pretty interesting. Mm. He had a dark side to him, a little bit of a dark side.
So out of the three movies, I think there's been, they've all been, had some sort of cannibalistic, maybe not number two. No, number two didn't. Sodom.
Yeah, technically.
Oh my gosh, it does?
A little bit.
What is the
but not
you
a lot.
Like you just like watching just like there's a you basically you're saying I need to see people eat more people.
Probably. Well, you know, it's good for the soul sometimes. You never know. You never know till you try, buddy. You never know till you try.
I've heard
and then you got to try it again to make sure you didn't like it. You got to do it a third time just to make sure you really didn't like it.
That's how I used to listen to music. Used to listen to albums. You do the first pass.
Yeah, you do the first pass.
And then the second pass, you're like, okay. You kind of like, and then you can start, if you really hated a song, you kind of skip it.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, I'll give this about 10 seconds in, skip it on the CD. And then the third time, you really just,
you just strained out the hits. Your favorite. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear this one again.
Yeah, this is the only one. Or this is the only one. Yeah, repeat. Repeat.
Yeah, one on repeat.
Yeah.
Until you get sick of it and never listen to the CD again.
Yeah, and then, yeah, then you put it away for a good 4, 5, 6 years. And you're like, oh, I remember that song. Yeah, then you pop back in your CD player again. It's in there for a month.
So in Titus, do they do, like, is it all Shakespearean dialogue?
It's all Shakespearean dialogue, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much all Shakespearean dialogue, and just again, like, the tones and the colors are just amazing. The cinematography is great. Like, I wish I could remember what the director's name was, but I can't. But, it was just an amazing, amazing and mesmerizing movie to watch, just for the colors and again the cinematography alone, and of course the actors, because they play the shit out of those, man. Like Anthony Hopkins, wow, great. Jessica Lange, wow, great. And she looked pretty good too. She's a little bit older then, but still looked good.
I just think they're literally two Jessica Langs in my mind. Like, you know how there are two? I feel like there are two Pacinos. Like, De Niro's kind of all aged pretty gracefully and stayed the same, kind of very similar all the way out. The two Pacinos, there's like pre-Dick Tracy and post-Dick Tracy, you know, where it's like he talks like that. Like he had a kind of more of a just pure, and then, I'm doing a terrible Al Pacino. And then after Dick Tracy, it's all big boy Caprice. Hoo-ah, Tracy, Tracy, Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got that. He's got the voice.
Yeah.
And he talks a little more.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be a tough guy. Everybody has a bad Al Pacino, you know? It's like walking.
Hoo-ah.
Jessica Lange.
That's my Al Pacino. Hoo-ah.
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 Life's a game of inches, boys.
I've been eating octopus up to my fucking ears. My octopus eating.
Was that Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonating
Al Pacino? No, that was me trying to do a Cuban accent. I can't do a Cuban accent.
That was great. Like I said, that sounded pretty close.
Eh? That sounded like Al Pacino?
No, that sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger
doing Scarface. Scarface?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Scarface screen test. He read for it.
Yeah.
Little known fact.
Did you? That'd be awesome if he did, man. Yeah,
what are you doing?
Come on. Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, this is a big friend. My two other ones.
I said that no women and no children. I kill no women, no children.
No.
Oh, wow.
That is
looks like I can't do an Austrian accent either.
It's okay.
I got to work on my accents. What's that? That Kumon thing, or that? What's that thing that teaches you how to speak languages?
Like the Rosetta Stone?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I guess they don't do accents, eh? It's just all languages, eh?
No, they don't teach you the native accent.
Hey,
I don't want to learn. I don't actually want to learn the language. I just want to learn
the accent.
How they sound in English,
dude. I think that's the new gimmick there, man. Is trying to figure out. Just teach people how to talk in accents.
I want to talk.
Don't teach them the languages. Just teach them the accents.
Are you feeling like your life's a little mundane? Want to feel a little more exotic? Well, come to Rosetta Stone. It's not even Rosetta Stone. What's like that Fool's Gold or whatever?
I can't remember.
To Fool's Gold, where we'll teach you how to talk like you're from another place. Hey, wanna talk like you're from Chicago?
Yeah,
we've got our instructor. Meet Cousin Eddie. Yeah. Hey,
he's
from Chicago.
Yeah, you want to talk like Harlem? I don't know how Harlem people talk, but
New York, man, like from the Bronx.
New York, there you go. Yeah, a New Yorker. You want to talk like a New Yorker?
New York, from the Bronx. Yeah.
From the Bronx.
The Bronx.
You want to talk like a Canadian? Eh? A boot? Eh? A boot? I'm Canadian, too, so I could say that stuff.
Oh,
yeah. I think that'd be something interesting.
Yeah. I think you're onto something.
You know, some people want to learn how to speak in accents.
Yeah. I think, like, yeah. How do we get on this subject? Oh.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Because of my bad impression.
Your bad impression. I was just, you know what it was? It was Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, yes. Sorry.
And we were talking about two different types of Al Pacino.
And post.
Yeah. There are two different types of Jessica Lange. I feel like I saw Jessica Lange in King Kong, and then I missed everything until American Horror Story.
Oh, yeah.
Where Jessica she's like, so those are like my two impressions. And then you're like, oh, yeah. They're very different.
Yes, very, very different.
Anyway, so that's mine. Okay, so Titus. I gotta watch Titus.
Yeah.
Titus O'Neil. WWE.
Hoo-wah. Noise.
Okay, so what is the... Okay, so my next one for you. This one would be like a bit of work, I think, to get in, but it's such a good payoff. I think you would appreciate the ride, but it's so much work to build up to this one, okay?
All right.
So, it's called Mr. America.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of it?
No, I don't think I've heard of that one.
No, I'm a big I'm a big Tim Heidecker fan.
Yes.
Okay, so Tim Heidecker, Greg Turkington, otherwise known as Neil Hamburger, he's done stuff. They started this podcast that makes fun of podcasts, essentially makes fun of what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
like film buff experts. Okay.
Ah, sweet.
Which is hilarious. They're great, and they make fun of it's just such a brilliant look at podcasts in general, like shill podcasts that want to review everything and make them like, you know, and want to be on the backs of like the DVD cases, so they'll rate everything five bags of they have their own popcorn rating system. It's everything's five bags of popcorn and stuff. And the reason I'm building up to this is because Mr. America does have something to do with this. What ends up happening is, you know, throughout the course of they have something like 10 seasons, and throughout the course of this show, which is literally just a 10-minute show on Adult Swim, on the Adult Swim website.
Okay,
it's not even Adult Swim. It's the Adult Swim website and YouTube channel, so you can watch it free. They start, like, Tim starts getting disinterested in the movie review show, so he stops watching the movies, and so, like, he starts, they start a side project called Decker, which is an entire other web series, like, really bad green screen, and Tim's a secret agent. But in order to fully get all the jokes, like, you could watch it as a bad series of, like, a bad TV episode, or you can watch, like, but to fully get all the stuff that's going on and all the in-jokes, you'd have to be watching, like, on cinema.
Yeah.
Because they have all the characters, and sometimes they'll break character to talk to themselves in the other character, and they'll reference something from the other show.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's super multi-layered, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, another thing Tim does is he forms a band called Dakar, and they have the worst band. Like, they're not bad. Here's the thing. They're not bad. Like, Axiom, his sidekick buddies are Axiom and Manuel, and they're not bad, but they're not great. So they, like, so he gets in all this stuff, and I'm rambling about all this crap, but, like, bottom line, he puts on a music festival. And what was it? 20 people die at the music festival
because
he gives out bad vape pens.
Oh,
okay. So they have a full trial, and this is all going on Adult Swim for free. Like, they were just you can stream this anywhere, and So they put this, they put the trial of Tim Heidecker on, and he gets acquitted because he may or may not have had relations with one of the jurors.
Yeah. Nice. That's how you do it, man.
Yeah. And so this episode is he, the end of that show, that the trial is him announcing that he's going to run for district attorney of San Bernardino.
Nice.
And again, they shoot it in all different types of mediums. So like the brilliant part of this is it's not only just a web series. They had a legitimate TV show on Adult Swim called Dakar. That was, and so, and then this, the trial of Tim Heidecker was all shot as if it was court TV. It was like 4 hour days where they would actually legit have presentations and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like
nice.
It's mind blowing. And you realize this is all some sort of weird theater arc. They do a live Oscar cinema special too, but the movie is an actual produced independent film on the documentary of the character of Tim Heidecker, who has just been acquitted, and he is running for the district attorney of San Bernardino.
Nice.
And it is him failing and just like all the struggles that have gone on. And it's I wouldn't say it's a culmination of the entire series. So I'm almost kind of lumping it in. You'd have to watch the background.
Yeah.
I'd be fascinated to see what you think of the movie as a standalone, because I haven't had that experience. But anyway, I know I've rambled along long enough, but yeah, something I think you should see.
Or yeah, for sure, man. I really enjoy some of their stuff that they've been doing. I also enjoy them as when I see them in some of the TV shows as side characters here and there.
Yeah, well,
always great to see them.
Well, Tim and Eric are brilliant, but like Greg, I think you'd get a kick out of Greg Turkington, because I think they're all like, I think they're brilliant in the sense that like they get the different types of television and the different types of media. Like there's just, and you know, the show itself on cinema has become a vehicle, and the characters have become a vehicle for spoofing so many different types of film. So anyway, weird. I'm really going to stop rambling about this. I want you to lose the next 6 months of your life watching
just
it.
Just watching that, eh?
Yeah.
Nice. Or usually like me, I'll just sit there and I'll watch them all in like one day as much as I can.
Yeah.
Because I have no life and I do that sometimes. I have a great life. Anyways, so one for me, for you to check out. I know we've talked about this one before, but you still haven't seen it yet, is the Battle Royale.
Yeah, I've been curious about that one for a while, actually.
The Japanese, man, like the precursor to like the Squid Game and all those things like that. Great flick, man. Who's in that? One of the main guys is a guy that, oh man, he's gonna kill me, man. See, I know all these, I remember all these people's faces now, and I just can't put names to faces anymore. But he played Zatoichi. In the remake of the Zatoichi. I don't know. Anyways, he's a Japanese actor. You guys, Kitano. Doesn't mean anything to you right now, though. But anyways, it's a great flick. They get all the troubled kids in, I believe it's only from grade 10. They get all the troubled kids, pick them all up, put them on an island, and the winner, they survive. That's it. They got to find their own weapons, and it's just a full-on Hunger Games before Hunger Games even was there.
But was it before The Condemned?
Oh, yeah, it was before The Condemned.
I don't know about that, man. Condemned? With Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, yeah, it was before Condemned.
With Steve Austin? What's the other? Vinnie Jones?
Vinnie Jones? Oh, yeah, way before The Condemned. But way before The Condemned. Very graphic, I think.
I'm on an island, son.
Turn your TVs on to this channel, boys.
What?
Yeah.
What? I can't go home. No.
Yeah.
So it's basically it's the same. It's similar plot though, right?
So
it's like
very,
one.
They're very similar. Yeah. They're all stuck on that, and then they just gotta. Yeah, they gotta. You know. And again, it just the whole. Again, the whole like. I don't know the layers of just like, you know, the some kids they want to do the some kids want to do the killing, some kids don't, and but everyone has to, you know, kind of deals. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting.
What was your take on Squid Game, by the way?
I haven't watched that one yet, but I've been hearing a lot of things. I've been seeing a lot of, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people talk about it. And now, like, you know, I'm not a big fan of, I'm not a big fan of watching things when they're trending. I think that's just me being just like against the world when things are trending. I just don't like things that.
You are a cinema hipster.
Yes, I would say that. So when things are trending, I'm not gonna watch it. Like for example, when that crocodile guy or whatever that. Tiger. Everyone's watching that. I didn't want to watch that. Whatever.
I knew it was an animal guy from Florida.
Yeah. See, that's what I know. I didn't see. When that was huge and everyone's watched that, I didn't watch that.
Close enough. Yeah.
I'm probably gonna watch that in another. I'll probably give it another 2-3 years. Then I'll watch it. Like I'm one of those kinds of people.
You know, honestly, it was kind of fascinating at the time, but it's amazing how that star faded so fast from our cultural lexicon. Like it's something that everybody watched because we were in COVID. Yeah. But I don't think have you gone and rewatched it? I don't think a lot of people have.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Fair enough. But yeah, so that's why I haven't seen the Squid Game yet.
Oh.
But yeah, Battle Royale, definitely gotta watch that. It's really it's a very, very good storytelling and everything.
I actually just that's actually sick. I've been wanting to watch it for a while because I'd seen that's one of the ones Tarantino always talks about is like
oh, yeah.
credits is like one of his big inspirations for movies and foreign films. Like he loves Battle Royale. Like that and yeah, he's a big fan. So I am fascinated by it. Here's my take on Squid Game. I did watch it and everyone hates me because I watched the dubbed version, which whatever. You know, this is my take though. I love the idea of the movie. I like the idea of it as a movie. I don't think we need like 6 episodes. You have
is it a 6-episode thing or
it's like 6 or 8 and it's just like, man, can we just get this over with in an hour and a half? Like really yeah. like you have three We have three major things, and don't get me wrong, all those scenes are great.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, but you can tighten them up a bit. You can tighten everything up, and we don't need this much character development. And this is where I think Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad ruined us as a society because they made serialized drama where it was action at the, like maybe 10 minutes of action at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 minutes of action at the end, so you see you watch at the end. And then
just like bleh.
40 minutes of, hey, I'm gonna be angrily washing dishes
yeah.
and giving Bryan Cranston mean stares and we're gonna call it character building.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a lot it's a formula that we've gotten used to. Walking Dead, AMC does this formula and it's
yes.
you know like
yes,
Walking Dead did
that
a lot. It was like, oh, there's a big There'd be a big zombie outbreak.
Oh.
And then, you just have to watch. And then you wouldn't see zombies forever.
Yeah. Off topic just a little bit. I don't know if just exactly what you were saying. Do you remember V?
The
show.
Alien abductions?
Yeah, but then they kind of redid it they rebooted it.
Okay.
And that's exactly what they did. Every single, like, again, like, just because I'm a goofy fan of, like, the original, you know, Mark Singer.
Yeah.
You know, I love Mark Singer anyways. But anyways, who else is in there? Mark Singer and,
dude, I don't know.
Kill me. He was, you know this guy, though. He was the guy in, Starship Troopers.
Okay.
The guy that has the teacher.
Ironside.
Michael Ironside. Yes, thank you very much. Michael Ironside. Freaking, I love that guy. Anyways, yeah. What were we talking about again? Yeah, V. Original V.
Yeah.
V. Yes, Mark Singer and Michael Ironside. Great,
okay.
great. Anyways, but they rebooted it in like the 2000s, and every single episode was they promised so much action. Like
yeah.
and was like, hey, next week on V, all the just shooting, alien, shooting. Oh, awesome. And then you watch the episode Talk, talk, talk. Hmm. Well, he promised me a fight action, fight scene. Boo, boo. That was it?
That's like...
That was it? Really? I waited out to see that? And that's what the whole scene was like. All this promise of this major, like, something crazy is going to happen at the end. And then what happened, just like, you know, like, boo. And that was it. And you're like, are you kidding me? I was so... And it roped me in to watch the only two seasons that it came out with. And I sat there and I watched them all. I was like, what am I doing?
That reminds me... Oh, man. That reminds me of, like, you know, Monday Night Raw used to be guilty of that so much.
Yeah, that's
dude.
True
you
too.
Used to watch... You'd be like, oh, my gosh, there could be a title change tonight.
What?
And I'd be like... And then it would be... Oh, what was the one? Actually, the most recent one I watched, I think I can use this, is when they brought back Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh, Goldberg's coming out. And then Kevin Owens was the Universal Champ. This is a little side note, wrestling off topic. And it was a big pay-per-view. And they're like, oh, Kevin Owens is going to fight Goldberg tonight. And it's going to be one-on-one with Goldberg. And you're looking at the time and you know, especially with the WWE, that their pay-per-views are rigid because it's all, you know, and so you're watching this and you're like, oh, shoot, there's only like 2 minutes left in the pay-per-view. What's going to, this isn't going to end well. Like, you know, I'm waiting, like, I've been waiting all night for this. And it's like, boom. Sure enough, Goldberg spears him. Yeah. Done. Of course. They knew. They timed it.
Yeah, they timed it just perfectly. Like, boom, like, done, credits. Yeah, all right, see you guys. You can't see anything. Just go home.
We're off the air. Little banner flash.
Thanks for running the pay-per-view for like $80, guys.
Yeah.
You know, here's your 1 second.
Yeah. No, that's funny. I think with Squid Game, though, I think we've all gotten a little serial crazy and series crazy.
Yeah.
I think we can tighten the idea up into, you know, and I get it. You're making jobs, you're making money. But as far as an entertaining thing, you can tighten the story up and I'll watch it in a 2-hour chunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to,
no,
I don't need to see, like, the best moments in that movie are the... Like, there's a couple of scenes in between, but, you know, honestly, let that stuff hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sorry, like, again, like, since we're on, like, these little TV showy deal things, what, like, I'm a big fan of either TV shows having either 10 or plus episodes on a season, or go old school, do the full, like, 24, 27, 28 episodes in a season, rather than doing, like, 8 or like 6 or like 4, like I'd rather them just go for the full 12 or full 10 than just skimming out on people. Myself personally, I don't know.
Here's a question for you. Well, so they might be a little less expensive. They might be a little less cheaper.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. I here's my question with that. Do you prefer them to be? To have like a running continuity, like serialized, or do you want? Are you okay with standalone episodes?
Well, it really depends. I think it really depends upon what kind of a story you're telling. If it's very episodic, like an A-Team episode, then yeah, I'd rather that just be like whatever, like boom, 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 or Mission Impossible is like just one thing, boom, 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 and at the very end they have like a common goal or something like that. Kind of like the A-Team. The only thing that really tied into every episode is that they had the same guy chasing them over and over again. And that was about, that's the only thing that kind of coincided with all the episodes, but all the episodes were standalone by themselves.
Yeah.
But if it's like a linear story or something, then I'd rather it be, you know, like just give me the full 10 or 12 episodes. Don't just chintz out and give me like 6. Because I only really think one, again, I think we talked about this too, but the only one really TV series that I've seen that's only done like 6 episodes and did it really well was that Spartacus. Blood and Sand, the second season, they did really well, only in 6 episodes, but they covered all the basis of all the characters in the first of who all the, like, it's kind of a prequel to what happens in the first season, but it goes in depth of all the characters of the first season, so it was actually great, and they did it just enough that you understood exactly what all those characters came from and who they were, and boom boom, and then when the thing starts, you're like, okay, now cool, now I know who all these people are. And they did a really good job. We're like in like, I don't know if anyone's watched that Loki one, but Loki's got like 6 episodes and you're like, what the hell's still going on here? And you're so like, and at the very end of it, you're like, So all that stuff I watched in 6 episodes didn't really matter anyways. So you're like, what the hell? Like,
yeah. So the plot is much more crucial when you have a limited number of stories.
I would say.
It's almost like you have a limited number. You know, it's the equivalent of like trying. You know,
like you're trying to fit, like, you know.
Well, you're allowed to. You have more room for error if you have 24 episodes than you do with something like, you know, a 6 episode run, because you're gonna remember. You're not gonna remember the crappy episodes. Like every so often, I'll use Star Trek. You know, because as a Trek nerd, you know, whether you like it or you hate it, it was popular. Nobody remembers. There are a ton. Bad Star Trek episodes, but you don't remember them. People remember, like, you know, they remember, what is it, especially Star Trek Next Generation. Nobody remembers the first season. Everybody remembers, you know, Locutus being stabbed.
The first season, that's when Tasha Yar died, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Good,
yeah, man.
Good
I remember that. And I remember a couple of episodes. When they turn into the kids. That was one of my favorite episodes. They turn back into kids. And you're like, what the hell? Like, Calvin Cardinal kid.
That was a later season.
Oh, sorry. Anyway.
No, that's okay. But my point being, like, the other one, I think that probably the show that married, like, merged both episodic episodes, and, like, having a continuity and having a story arc, probably the best for me would have been something like The X-Files.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that one.
Because they had that running theme of Mulder trying to find his kid, and they had these mythology episodes where you would build into the idea of him having, like, an overarching narrative and stuff, and then you'd have, what was it? In, like, you'd have the quest to find his sister. At least the first 7 seasons, I would say, of X-Files were really good. And then, you know, it kind of derails after that. But then, like, you also have these standalone where they're just monster of the week, which is fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because they would kind of deal with, like, slimy people.
Yeah, slimy people. Or, like, I remember the Inbred one. That was one of my favorite ones I remember watching.
Home?
I think, yeah. That
okay,
was.
So you want to know what's weird about that?
Okay, tell me a thing about that.
So the big guy in that episode, Home, with the Inbred people, that was he was my, like, socials. He was a student teacher of mine. He's like a socials teacher, and nice. And he was working. I think he's a drama teacher now. I shouldn't. I don't tell you where.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He was he was in he was an actor. He was a very working actor, and he was that was his big role.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So I'll be like, hey, Mr. T. Yeah. You know, he's like. It was good to see. It was kind of funny because he told us all about his acting chops, and you're like, man, it's kind of cool to have a guy that's actually been and worked with these people, right?
Yeah,
you know, and been in the biz,
yeah, man.
So you know, teaching's a good gig for him too, because you know he can go off and maybe take a day if he needs to and film and stuff. So anyway,
craft service, man.
Yeah. I've been on one. I've been on 2 sets. I played a lifeguard in both. Oh man!
Was one of them Rat King? No.
No.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. I'll try to get you in the next one or something like that.
That's okay. You'll see. Talk to my agent.
All right, buddy.
So Battle Royale is one I need to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You ever see Casablanca?
Dude, honestly, I have not seen the original. I have not seen that at all.
That's a great movie. That movie.
Like honestly, the only thing I've seen is just the clip of that end of that little girl closing her ears.
That's not Casablanca.
That was on Casablanca?
What little girl closing her ears?
During the gunshot at the very one of the ending scenes. Is that on Casablanca?
That's not in Casablanca.
Which one's that one in then?
I don't know.
Because there's an old movie. And then right before the gunshot happens, the girl closes her ears like this, and then you see it right on screen, like, hey, why is that girl closing her ears? And you hear a gunshot. It's in one of those, like, 40s, 50s movies.
Okay, if anybody's listening, if anybody's still listening at this point.
Maybe Maltese Falcon, is it? Maybe?
I don't know. But
I'll have to research that one again. All right, anyways. Casablanca.
Casablanca, yeah. I always say that, I mean, that's a classic, dude. That's
yeah, that's yeah, I haven't watched like that.
Okay. This is easily, I would say, you know, when they argue, people argue Citizen Kane was like the best, the pinnacle.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like, same with Dr. Zhivago. They're like, yeah, everyone's got to watch Dr. Zhivago.
Citizen Kane's fine. It's just not my cup of tea. And I don't think it's aged as well as people like to remember. I think it's probably I would say it's more innovative than it is a good movie. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. I think it has a unique story structure, and I think there's a lot of techniques that he uses that are brilliant in it, but I don't think as far as holding an attention today, you'd have to look at it at the period of the time.
Yeah.
I think for me, Casablanca still holds my attention.
Oh yeah.
So
okay.
Because that's one of those movies that, and you know, there's two movies like that. Casablanca, and then I'll tell you the other one because I think that it might be my last one recommendation for you. It's set in like Nazi Germany, or no, it's set in Casablanca. Why would I say Nazi Germany?
Oh yeah,
Casablanca.
See,
Nazi,
you want to watch that
Nazi.
Salo one, man?
No,
you want to watch
I do
that?
Not.
Yeah, you do.
No.
It's in your mind now.
No.
Yeah, have fun with that one.
But it's actually set in Germany or early World War, like early part of World War II. Probably, well, maybe like 1940. Anyway. People are trying to get out of Casablanca is like the last place you can get out of to get to like at the Allied countries. So like you can still get planes out of there. Paris, like I think it's is it the French run it or something? Anyways, not only are there a million different quotes from it, like you know.
Yeah.
I think this is a hear.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you, kid. Yeah. And all the gin joints in all the world. Why'd you walk into this one?
Yeah.
What is it? We'll always have Paris.
Yeah.
The other one is, I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
Anything that you've seen, this movie has its grubby little fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
And Humphrey Bogart is amazing as a sympathetic character. It's part film noir,
like, yeah,
part war. It's got like Warner Brothers is a reason, you know, the Warner Brothers theme at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's from that movie. The
oh,
song
yeah.
As Time Goes By.
That's right. Yeah.
That's
time, yeah.
Play It Again, Sam. Like,
yeah.
So that's the song in the movie. Anyway, it's great. Watch it. I can't tell you enough. Love Affairs. Humphrey Bogart owns a bar. Just go watch it. It's good.
Oh, nice.
Okay, what's my final movie?
One of the final ones. We're going into the 80s ninja movies now. Ninja 3, The Domination. Oh yeah, buddy.
Why? So do I need to see Ninja 2? And
well,
Ninja
it's kind of funny because it's just like they just because there's this guy named Shokuzuki who they say was an actual real ninja and came over to America to film films. Now, who knows if that's true or not? But I think he's a real ninja.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna keep that and just yeah, he's a ninja. Hmm. Anyways, so he did one movie first called Enter the Ninja, which is like. Interesting. He's got Franco Nero, and he plays a white guy who gets inducted into the Ninja Academy. And then, of course, Shokuzuki doesn't like it because he's a foreigner learning how to do ninjutsu. So they have a little tiff. They have a crazy battle at the end. Doesn't make any sense at all because you're like, why is this white guy learning how to do a ninja stuff? Second one, it's like all it is just called The Revenge of the Ninja. Has nothing to do with the first one at all. Still has the same guy, Shokuzuki, in it. But this time he plays kind of the same thing. Like, family's got... No, that one, he's just a regular family. And they just move from Japan all the way out into the America to try to make big business in America by selling Japanese dolls. But his business partner ends up putting drugs in the dolls. So they're actually shipping drugs to Japan and... back and forth, back and back and forth, and he finds out about it, and it has a crazy ass like 20-minute fight scene on like the top of buildings. It's nuts.
Is well shot? Is it actually well choreographed?
No. But that one's known for it's literally a 20-minute fight on like the rooftop of these buildings, and you're like, how the hell did he get through all these buildings? It's pretty weird.
So does it make Roddy Piper's Keith David's fight in They Live?
They Live is by far a greater fight scene. And then this one, Ninja 3 The Domination, again, Shokuzuki, but this time he plays kind of a monk who, I guess this other rogue ninja killed, like, his family or kind of deal, or or, like, killed his clan or something, and then he has to go fight him, can't find him, he ends up finding out that he's in America kind of deal, and that ninja dies, Shokuzuki's still trying to find him, he ends up, like, kind of resurrecting, so he's kind of like a weird zombie ninja, but instead he kind of, his spirit goes into this female electrician. Yeah, the spirit of the evil ninja goes into her body, so now she's yeah, a ninja. It's weird. I know it dives into some weirdness there, right? And then he's like,
it's,
hey,
Katra.
Yeah, he's
from
like,
Spock. That's a Star Trek 3 reference.
And then he has to like figure out a way how to get the demon out of her so he can actually kill it properly. And then, yeah, it's pretty interesting, man. The fights in that are a lot better than the other ones. This one seems like it's a little bit more well thought out, I would say, than the other precursor, than the other three movies that he did before that.
So Ninja 3 is the one to watch. If
you're gonna watch a ninja movie that's very Americanized, I would, like, from Shokuzuki, I would watch that one.
Such a thing, and this is maybe me being stupid, is there actually such a thing as ninjutsu?
Yeah, well, there's definitely...
I know that, like...
There's definitely... I don't know if there's any around nowadays. Who knows what goes on nowadays? But there's an actual discipline that you could find in some places that they actually teach ninjutsu. Who knows if it's actually authentic or not? And like, who knows what's authentic nowadays?
I just feel like, honestly, I feel like that's something Danny McBride now teaches in like a mall. Like,
well, he did do that one.
That's what I mean.
But
like
this way, man, I could see him. I could see him ninjutsu.
You know, I see him, or at least calling, like, you know, like a lot of people calling it like ninjutsu, and it's just like, yeah, I got 6 black belts in ninjutsu.
Ninjutsu.
Because ninjutsu is now trademarked, trademark property of the Secret Society of Ninjas.
Yeah, ninjutsu. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, but it's a lot more fun. It's a really fun movie. You get a kick out of it, have a couple of little schlocky laughs here and there, and, you know, just kind of the overtop cops that are in it. Yeah, they're pretty pretty funny.
Okay, so I'll watch that. Yeah. I love a good B movie. I love a good little action flick. You know, are the stunts okay?
The stunts actually aren't that bad at all.
Okay, I'll check it out. Right. Here's the last one. Okay, so I've got a couple. Actually, I'm going to fire at you. Because you said you saw The Dirty Dozen as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid, I've seen that. I got to go back and rewatch all that stuff.
I'm not going to tell you to watch it then. That doesn't count.
Yeah, I'll still watch that. Because they did a Dirty Dozen Part 2, too, didn't they? Or Dirty Dozen 2.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man. I saw that one, too. That's so bad. Lee Marvin's, like, on his deathbed, and he's just... You know, I love the characters. I will say Dirty Dozen might be one of my favorite movies of all time. But probably in top 10, just because it's it's like the characters in there. Obviously we talked about Kojak, Telly Savalas. You have Charles Bronson, Lee Marvin.
Yeah,
who
Charles Bronson.
I've realized this about Lee Marvin, maybe Charles Bronson too, to a certain extent. But Lee Marvin delivers every line in the exact same way, and it's great. He's just tough as nails, no matter whether it's Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, which, have you seen that one?
No. Oh, I think we're talking about that one, though. Haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, maybe that might be my last one. I was going to say 12 Angry Men, but that's a courtroom drama. Man Who Shot Liberty Balance is a pretty good one, too. Anyway, but yeah, just Lee Marvin says the same thing in every movie. Yeah, you know, he's just, you mess with me, I'll knock your brains out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just so angry. Like, it's just,
yeah, man.
You know, hey, you try and pull a stunt like that. Donald Sutherland's in it. I mean, it's got,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it has everybody, and it's so
good ensemble cast. Eh?
Yeah, Ernest Borgnine, weirdly enough, and so George Kennedy.
George Kennedy too, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, he's good in it. Just everybody, it's good, and it's actually like, it's one of those movies like even the for a movie of that era, like there's still an element of, you know, like it's still certain parts of it look dated, but it doesn't look as dated as something like even I find The Great Escape looks more dated. Like there are two, those movies were shot probably about 5 years apart.
Yeah.
And I always compare them because, you know,
are they both like done in the same kind of time era that they kind of want to be? Cause I know Great Escape is like, it's World War II.
World War II, yeah,
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 yeah.
Dirty Dozen's World War II as well.
Okay, so it's the same kind of.
Yeah, and they both have Charles Bronson, and spoiler, Bronson survives both. Like,
he's a lucky one.
Yeah.
He's a lucky one.
Hey, it's me, Charles Bronson.
Hey, me, Charles Bronson.
Hey, that jackrabbit was, took off, what was it? We were pinned down by the heaviest firepower you'd ever seen. That our commander decided to be a jackrabbit and take off with all the med supplies. I had to shoot him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, then Lee Marvin just casually, yeah, but here's the problem. You let somebody see you do it.
Oh, no. Shoot. Yeah, man.
This is a good one. Yeah, Man Who Shot Liberty Balance, actually. You know, if you want to go down the Lee Marvin rabbit hole, he's got a bunch of good ones. They're all just, you know, again, I don't know. Maybe I just lean towards that kind of like hard boiled, like Humphrey Bogart style.
No, those are good. Those are good things to watch, man. Like when you have those good strong characters that have that edge to them, but it's almost like before the tough guy era. You know what I mean? Like this is like a man's man for like the during the 70s. Like this is a man's man, like Clint Eastwood style. Like this is a man's man.
Well, yeah, and you watch. Actually, it's funny you say that because it's also like the evolution of the hero. Like if we were to watch the guy now, like he's got more of an athletic build, you know, he's very much like, he's not overly muscular, I would say, but he's fit enough that he does a lot of CrossFit. Like, you know, like,
yeah, pretty much everyone.
It's,
yeah.
It's
CrossFit
like,
kind of like the
CrossFit build. Like you look at, like, I would look at like, let's say Chris Evans from Captain America, you know, whereas you can kind of like see the graph from like that type of hero that's like truth, justice, American way, to like something to that of like, you know, early 90s, which would be, you know, almost
early
like the
like
WWE, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Super Jack.
I would consider those guys the 80s. Like the 90s, I would say like in the 90s, it kind of went down like.
Yeah, they slimmed
they,
out.
They slimmed down in the 90s. Like you had like guys like. I think like Christian Slater being like the big
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage kind of stemmed out. Yeah, like DiCaprio started popping out there being leading man for like the heroes and stuff like that. And
but if you're going with your action hero, like you know, I mean, you had a couple blips with like, you know, Gerard Butler with Ghost, like the Sparta. They were thicker, you're right. I think they definitely, you know, it was more, it almost looked like guys that hit the gym but didn't want to get popped for steroids.
Yeah.
And whereas, like, in the 80s, it was just basically everybody that was just geared out to
just
the max.
Yeah.
And we had to have
pumping
these
iron. Yeah,
ridiculous physiques. Like, they had to be, yeah.
Well, think of the great, like, the 80s stars, like, the big ones, right? You had Schwarzenegger, Stallone. I'm gonna throw Dolph Lundgren in there. I know a lot of people does, but he did a couple of really great ones in there.
Dolph Lundgren, he didn't have that. Yeah, I think of the three I think of is, I guess, the guys that made Planet Hollywood: Stallone, Willis.
Willis
didn't have much of a build though. He had more like the everyman build.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. Oh, but Willis, that was what was Die Hard was in like 88, was it not? I believe, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I guess it makes sense. He yeah, but he was in the tail end going into the 90s too.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I mean,
so like, yeah, like that, yeah, that's that kind of action hero had like that kind of ability.
Like you had the you had the roided out action hero without, like, you know, for lack of a better word,
and then like dad bod,
and then
it went back.
Like his Harrison Ford, I would include, like he kind of had that athletic,
yeah,
but not like
kind of athletic.
Yeah,
kind of. I'd put him in like the dad bod era sort of.
Yeah,
like he wasn't actually. Yeah, I forgot about that. Indiana Jones, those ones were great.
Because he was kind of athletic, but those really fitness and physique didn't really come into play until the 80s. Yeah. Whereas, like, yeah, you know, it was almost like an attitude. A man's man was more attitude,
yeah,
and kind
like
of somewhat,
yeah,
looks during
that,
up until, like, I'd say, like, you know, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I would say that.
With,
yeah,
the exception of, like, maybe, you know, like those Steve Reeves Hercules from, like, 1950s. Oh, yeah. But yeah,
those ones are horrible.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Anyway, I think we've covered the gamut today.
Yeah, that was a fun little ditty.
What's the
going on through?
Yeah.
What's our final thought?
Moral of the story.
Moral of the story is
don't go to Italy because you might get eaten by cannibals.
You might get eaten by cannibals. Like, I would say the moral of the story is, even a movie, whether the movie's good, bad, horrible, you know, whatever, I think you should always give, if you're a true film fan, you should give at least a one-shot try. If you can't go through it the full time, fair enough. But at least try, because you just got to remember that, like, people put their hard-earned and their soul into creating these films, it came from people, and, you know, it's always nice to at least try to watch some of these creative process things that people've done. And now they're on print, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of cool. You do something, and it's now it's there in the world. Anyone can watch it, download it over and over again or something, you know? Like, I don't know. I think that sounds fair enough.
That's good. Those are good words.
A little bit deep.
Yeah, I dug it. I can appreciate the process. No, no way I'm watching that Sodom movie.
No, you will one day.
All right, guys. Thanks so much again. I've been TJ.
Yeah. Tony.
And this has been Unnecessary Noise. You guys
Noise.
All right. Have a good one.